listening to the Head in the Clouds podcast, a proud member of the Converge Podcast Network. Now to the man with his head constantly in the clouds, your host, Ryan Romeo.
On today's show, I am talking about greatness and balance. It is one of those episodes that's really one of my favorites because I know that we live in a culture, in a Christian culture right now, that it's like, you know, being great in the kingdom is one of those things that's either really valued or maybe you hide from it because you feel like you're prideful or something, you know. And there's this balance in pursuing a God-given greatness. There's this balance in understanding what greatness looks like in the kingdom of God. And it does not look like the greatness that our culture talks about. It does not look like the things that we think it would be. So today's show is one of those examples for me of one of my favorite subjects to talk about, balancing the greatness, balancing and understanding that God does call you to great things, but at the same time, he calls you to a different sort of humility. So without any further ado, let's listen to the episode, Greatness and Balance. I titled today, Greatness in Balance. Greatness in Balance. And this is the thing for me. I was just talking with a friend of mine a couple days ago, and him and I were saying, you know, there's very few stories that we read from people who did great things. And there's very few people that we look at that didn't work really hard, that didn't have this long story of pursuing something with focus and work ethic and everything else. We see very few stories out there of people who were like, you know what, I was sitting on the couch and this crazy thing happened, and then all of a sudden, I became this, you know, great basketball player. Or, you know, my friend and I, when we were talking about it, we're like, you don't hear stories of people who did great things that didn't work really hard toward them. And I think right now it's funny, we live in this season where in our culture, especially in Christian culture right now, where it's like, no, it's not about working hard. It's about just being with God, and it's not about, you know, your doing, it's about your being. And these are really great phrases, and a lot of it is good. If you're a workaholic, if you cannot find any sort of validation in your life outside of the work that you do, then yes, you need to hear messages like that. But I would argue that most of us actually don't need to hear those messages as often as we think. I think a lot of us are operating in this sort of stress that we kind of build around things that are not all that stressful. We sit on social media and we stress about being like other people. We stress about, you know, meeting other people's expectations in our life. We stress about money or things like this that really have no bearing on your dreams. They have no bearing on who you are. But they cause us to spin our wheels a lot. And I was just actually getting some DMs from someone on Instagram. I don't know who this person is, but she was saying, you know, I've had these dreams that God has given me since I was a little girl, and I have been working my whole life in other jobs to make my bosses happy, and none of it has been fulfilling to me, and I feel like I missed it. I feel like I should have been pursuing this thing that God gave me early on. And I told her, it's never too late with God. And I'll say that to you. It's never too late to shift and start going, you know what? I've been spinning my wheels trying to make other people happy, or trying to make my parents happy, or trying to make my boss happy. And none of it is fulfilling the thing that I know that God has put in my heart. I would say it's not too late. It is not too late to pray. I told her, I said, take some time to pray. Take some time to seek the Lord. Press into the things that you feel like God's giving you dreams for. If he's giving you the thumbs up, then start making a plan to start working toward them. And writing it down, I talked about it last week, writing it down is that first step in pursuing a God-given dream. The minute you write it down, you have some accountability toward it, you know. But at the same time, you know, you look at it, you go, okay, all right, so greatness in the world, there's people that we look at like Kobe Bryant or, you know, anybody else that are really big, that created a huge impact on society. And we go, they worked really hard. But some of them worked so hard that they died at a young age, or everyone around them said, you know, they were a jerk to work for. And we don't want that either. And so today, as we are talking about greatness, I want to talk about it through the lens of what Jesus said greatness is. And then I want to kick off from that point. So let's dive into the words of Jesus. It's the safest place for us to start when it comes to greatness. Mark 10, 42 through 45 says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The context is some of his disciples are like, I want to be great in your kingdom. I want to sit at your right and left hand. And it's causing some inner turmoil in the dynamic between the disciples. And Jesus steps in and he tells them this about greatness. He says, Mark 10:42. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Now, this is, I think, so beautiful because it's so the opposite of what the world says. The world says greatness is when people are serving you, but Jesus says greatness is when you are serving them. And a lot of times, I'll just say, because it's fresh for me, and I was kind of revisiting some stuff with Kobe Bryant when he was talking about being a leader. And he was I think we can all agree that Kobe Bryant was great when it came to basketball. He said, when I'm leading people, though, he said, I'm not trying to be popular with them. I'm trying to lead them into something. He said, so you cannot be afraid to keep people accountable. You cannot be afraid to have hard conversations with people on your team. And, you know, you look at him and you're going, actually, in a lot of ways, he's exercising Jesus-level servanthood toward the people that he's leading. And he's saying, you know, I as a leader, I'm not here to be popular and liked by you. I'm here to really pull us together as a team and take us to great places. And I think a lot of us in church leadership, this is actually something I see all the time, where we say verses like this, and in the back of our mind, for whatever reason, we think that this means, oh, you're not going to do a big concert, you're not going to have a lot of social media followers, you're going to take this sort of lowly state that nobody sees what you're doing, and somehow that is greatness in the kingdom. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying greatness in the kingdom is determined by the depth in which you are willing to serve others. The height in which you will gain greatness is determined by the depth in which you will go to serve others. And that is counterintuitive. And I hate to say it, I will not name names and I will keep these names in the back of my head. But I've worked with Christian leaders on a national level, on a local level. I've worked with Christian leaders who I think they would think that they are being humble, but they carry this air of, you need to serve me. Like, I'm coming here to preach. I'm coming here to lead. You need to do your thing to make me feel good. And we have to fight this. This is not what our dreams are about. This is not what pursuing God-given dreams are about. This is not what greatness in the kingdom is about. Greatness in the kingdom is about serving others. And as I was praying this morning and I was reading through this verse, I really started to become a lot more convicted about this, and I started to get a lot more clarity about it. And what it doesn't mean is we can't, you know, pursue a dream, but we have to make sure that this dream is serving others. So let's go through. I have three things today that mark some principles for us as we're going into our dream. These are three things that we absolutely have to have based on Mark 10, 42 through 45, when Jesus is talking about greatness in the kingdom. So number one, our dream has to serve others. It has to serve others. I think, you know, when you're pursuing a dream, let's just say, okay, this is one of those ones that we love to just bash in the church. You know, like, let's say your dream is, man, I want a significant amount of social media followers so that I can impact them for Jesus. Now, this is one of those things that I would go, this can be a God-given dream. This can be pursued in a healthy way. Just like gathering a crowd, you know, if you've got a dream to gather a huge crowd of people to tell them about Jesus, this is the same thing. You're just digitally getting a huge crowd to talk about Jesus. But that big crowd is not there to like when when you're jumping on an airplane or when you're hanging out with that famous person. I very rarely, I told someone, I'm like, I've hung out in rooms and I've led things on tour with a lot of famous people, and I have almost no selfies with anybody. And it's not because I'll be honest, it's mostly because it's a little awkward to walk in and go, hey, you know, I've been with you for the last, you know, month. Can we take a picture together? I don't know. I'm just not that kind of person. But that is, you know, that's the line where you go, okay, social media is not for you to brag about yourself. Social media is there for you to brag about God. And for me, I've made that shift recently with my social media. This last year, I've decided I want to be, in 2020, a lot more purposeful with my social media. So I'm posting quotes about Jesus, and I have family members that follow me that I know they don't follow Jesus, and they're probably going, what is Ryan posting about? But this was the year that I'm going, I am unabashedly going to use social media to talk about Jesus and to encourage other people and to serve them. The same with this podcast. I mean, everything in it, I'm thinking about you when I'm speaking and when I'm writing down the notes for this podcast, and I'm praying for you going, God is going to release people that are listening to this podcast to amazing things. And I'm always having to keep that in check and going, my dream of writing a book and creating a podcast or going on tour or any of the things that I've done has got to be outward focused. And whenever I'm tempted to say, you know, I need some group of assistants or fans to follow me around and do all my bidding for me, I always fight that. And I'm going, no, my job is to be here to serve other people. And that's very counterintuitive, especially when you have a dream that's getting off the ground, especially when you have leaders underneath you that are serving you, especially when you've motivated them to the point where they're moving and changing and shifting their life around the dream that you have communicated to them. It's easy to go, well, I've earned a place to have an assistant that handles all that. I'm not against assistants. Actually, I really like having assistants, keeping my schedule straight and everything else, but they're not there to do every little personal thing for you. You don't have to. I mean, you need to really think about the people underneath you. Your dream and them joining you in your dream needs to propel their own dreams, needs to propel them into something. Sometimes you need to pause your day and go, how am I serving other people right now? How can I take time to hear about somebody that's going through something hard in their personal life? Or take time when I get that DM on Instagram from somebody who's going, my life is falling apart, can you pray for me? I always pause and go, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for this prayer request. And then I send them a little message going, I just prayed for you. You know, these are things that for me are the constant daily reminder that when I have influence, it's to be leveraged for service. It's to be leveraged for serving other people. So when you're pursuing a dream, it doesn't matter if it's big or small or huge or gives you, you know, lots of social media followers. None of that matters if your heart is to make a big deal of Jesus and to serve other people. So that's number one. Our dream has to serve others.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Number two, our dream will require sacrificial work on behalf of our team. So I was just kind of talking about, okay, you've got to serve others. But this is where, I don't know, a lot of people that want to talk about rest all the time and balance. And I agree with all of that. We need rest. We need balance. We need to put our families first. All of that. But we have to understand that sacrificial work, really hard work on behalf of our team is required. And it's kind of like what I was just talking about with the last one, where it's your dream is to serve others. When you have people on your team, their job is not to come wait on you hand and foot. Their job is to play a part in something bigger that you may have cast vision for, but they need to work it out themselves. And when you're the leader of it, it doesn't mean you're the last to show up and the first to leave. And I think leaders in the church are very guilty of this. They show up last and they leave first and they think, man, I did a great job leading this. And it's like, no, you have to understand your team. Hard work is necessary. I will say that. Hard work is necessary. We have a worship conference coming up, but we're doing a conference here in Phoenix called Dwell. And we've got Phil Wickham and Chris Kilala and a lot of local leaders coming together. And we have been working really hard. And I will say, I have been working really hard behind the scenes, sending text messages to people, inviting them, going, you know, we've got this conference going on. If you need help, let me know. I'll send you a promo code, reaching out to local colleges. Like, I am hitting the pavement. And before we announced it, the 2 months before we announced it, we did three smaller events, meeting with local leaders. And none of that was easy. Not any of it was easy. And compared to Outcry, you know, Outcry, we would have, whatever, you know, 10,000 people a night. And this is one of those things that I'm really praying that we have 700 people. It's not a huge thing in terms of numbers, but it's a huge thing in terms of this city and in terms of my heart and in terms of our team's heart for reaching out to local church leaders. But that doesn't happen by itself. That you have to hit the pavement and do it yourself. You have to really reach out to people. And I hear so many people these days talking about, man, you have to have balance in your life. You have to balance work and your home life and everything else. And I 100% agree with it, but I don't agree with it in the way that they talk about it. So some people are like, you know what? Every day I leave work and I just leave it at work and I just come home and I rest and, you know. And I go, no. And sometimes there are seasons where you can't do that. Sometimes there are seasons where you come home, spend some time with your kids go to sleep, and you get back to work. Sometimes you have to wake up way before the sun is up to get some work done on something else before you get into work. This is just life. And it doesn't mean you're a workaholic and doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just means you're working hard towards something you believe God is calling you to. And we have to be a people that are okay with that. And I think balance comes not daily, but balance comes weekly and in seasons. Sometimes, you know, the month leading up to Outcry, I would work 7 days a week. And it was really, really hard. And I would find days and I would go, you know, like there were really times where, especially on my Sabbath day, and I did have a Sabbath day. I mean, I did some work 7 days a week, but there was the Sabbath day where I'd go, okay, I might send out one or two text messages or something, but I'm going to be engaged with God. I'm going to be engaged with my family. We've talked about Sabbath on this podcast. It's very, very important. But there are these seasons where you're like, I'm not going to get rest like I did in the last season. And that's okay. I'm going to catch up with it later. And there are absolutely seasons where we are out of balance. And that's okay. I just think we think about balance in this silly way where we have to be balanced every day. And I go, no, 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 some days you're going to be working 12-hour days, and it's going to be really hard. You can't sustain that for years, so you're most likely going to do that for a couple of months, and then you're going to back off, and then you're going to give yourself some rest. Balance comes in seasons, doesn't come daily or hourly, and that's okay. When you're pursuing a dream that God gave you, you know, there's, again, these hard seasons. When I'm out on tour and somebody sends me a text message, let's say we had people sponsoring Outcry, and they were giving us $500,000 or something like that, and big amount of money. And if they sent me a text and said, "Hey, Ryan, we need to meet because of this, you know, like we really got to meet," or, "Hey, you're going to be in a city where our leadership is. We need to be able to sit down and talk with you guys just for a little bit." I did not have the option to go, "You know what? I'm actually resting right now, so it's not a real good time for me." That was not an option for me. I had to buckle down and go, "Okay, great. When do you want to meet?" And when those opportunities come, we go, "Yes, Lord." When something comes, that's this thing that's enabling us in our dreams, in the God-given dreams that He's given us, and we have to press into them, we say yes. And I talked about this too with my friend the other day. I said, you know, Outcry was a huge sacrifice for my family. I would go out on the road and they would come out with me maybe 4 days or something, and I might be out for a month, and they would see me for 4 days in the middle of the tour, and I would cry because I missed them, and they would cry because they missed me, and my wife would call me and go, "Things are really hard." But we felt God's grace on it. And to me, I really spent a lot of time leading my family going, "This is not just Daddy's calling. This is your calling too. Like, as a family, we are all sacrificing for this. And I promise you, when Daddy gets back from tour, I'm going to be giving you eye contact. We're going to be hanging out. I'm not going to be texting everybody constantly. But right now is a season where I have to. I really have to be on." And they knew that. And the most beautiful thing to me is in this last season with Outcry, where we had to cancel the tour, I sat my son down and my daughters down, and I told him, I said, "Hey, Daddy was going to go on tour in a couple weeks, but I'm actually not anymore, and we're canceling it." And my son, I think, who really feels the weight of the sacrifice of that tour more than anybody, he started to cry. He's like, "Are you going to do it anymore?" And I said, "I don't know, buddy, you know." And he said, "I want you to." And he said, "And if you don't, I'm going to start the tour." And I can't explain in this podcast what it meant to me to see that, because I realized when I worked really hard and my family sacrificed for the thing that I felt like God was giving me, it wasn't self-serving. It wasn't something that was just mine. It was something for our family. It was something that, you know, my son took as his own. He was like, this is just as much mine as it is my daddy's. That is the balance that I'm talking about. It comes in these seasons where sometimes you're working really, really hard to the point where you're going, "I am going to freak out and I'm going to have a nervous breakdown." And I've actually worked to the point where I am in tears going, "I can't handle this anymore." And the Lord is so faithful to come in and go, "Okay, Ryan, you need to rely on me a little bit more right now. You need to trust me a little bit more." And my prayer, I've talked about it before, but my prayer in the seasons where I was breaking down was not, "Lord, make this easier for me," or, "Lord, take something off my plate because I can't handle this anymore." It was, "Lord, expand my capacity to take this next season on. Expand my capacity to not only handle this stuff that feels overwhelming now, but to take even more on." And God was faithful to do that. And it wasn't born out of this workaholic sort of, "I have to accomplish something." It was born out of, "Lord, you've given me new territory. And when I sit in it long enough, this new territory becomes my new home. And I become comfortable in the place where I've taken this ground." So we have to have balance, but balance comes in seasons. It really does. And I think there's so many people I know that that are working part-time, and maybe they're taking a class here or there, and they're like, oh, Lord, I need balance in my life. And I'm going, you don't have kids. You don't have... I'm going, you have actually so much time on your hands you don't even understand. And you really need to understand probably a little bit of hard work. That will help you appreciate real balance. You don't understand balance if you don't work hard. If you don't work hard, then everything in your life feels out of balance. Everything feels like hard work, and it's actually not. It's this deception that comes through being really comfortable not doing a lot of work. When you get comfortable working really hard, I mean, a lot of people that I know that have had that sort of conversation, like, oh, I need real balance in my life, and I'm going, I think you're probably working less than 40 hours a week. That is not for me. I'm going, for somebody in the kingdom, that is not what we're called to do. We're not called to work very little and be stressed about the little work that we're doing. We're called to work really hard to invest what's in our hands today for the good of the kingdom. So, okay, that was a long, long time. That was number two. Number three, this one will go faster. We can't expect others to serve us. And I already kind of touched on this. We can't walk through life expecting that when we are the ultimate quote-unquote leader, that everyone's going to serve us. I've come across a few leaders in my life that I think they carry this and they don't even know it. Like, I was talking to a leader years ago and he was going, you know, just I want to have that team where I'm sitting there and they bring me their ideas for stage design and they bring me their ideas for this. And I could go, yeah, I like that, or no, I don't like that. And I was like, that is not leadership. Leadership is not sitting on your high horse and having all of the people bring their hard work to you and you go, yeah, I like that. No, I don't like that. Yes, that's good. No, that's bad. That is not servant leadership. Servant leadership is getting your hands dirty with everybody, working hard with everyone on your team and saying, how can I serve you? What have you got going on? And yes, as a leader, you have to be able to speak into whether you like things or not, don't like things. But you have to give your team real vision for what you're imagining is going to be a win before they start doing their hard work, because it's going to kill them. We've all been in that place where we've worked really hard and we bring something to a leader and they go, meh. And yes, we have to kind of get over that. Yes, we're serving that leader. On that side, like, you got to work that out. On the other side, if you are that leader, you probably didn't give the person that was working underneath you very, very good clarity on what was expected. You have to get good at that. And that's part of serving your team. You're not there to be served. You're there to serve. Coming back to the words of Jesus. So that's it for today. I know I was beating this to death. And some of you, if you're a workaholic listening to this, you might be going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You probably should rest a little bit. If you're not, if you're one of those people that has been maybe sitting on your hands for a long season and you've gotten very comfortable with not doing a lot, this should be challenging for you. Greatness and balance, we need it. We need the balance that comes in seasons, but we also need the greatness that comes with serving God. There is a greatness that comes when you're doing something really big and great for God, something with huge impact far beyond what you could do on your own. But the heart behind it has to be service. It has to be that servant leadership. And we have to get better at that. So that's our podcast for the day. At Ryan Romeo on social media, Instagram. I actually jumped on TikTok, which is weird for me. And I don't know, if you're young and you're listening to this podcast, you're like, oh yeah, TikTok. I feel like a fish out of water on that platform. But I am on TikTok. I think it's ryan.romeo. And Twitter and Facebook, if you absolutely have to do it, I'll be doing that. So for all of you out there, make sure you keep your head in the clouds and your feet on the ground. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.